So last year, throughout the winter on the Tuesday night shiur, we were doing different topics that I was writing up for the Sefer Hakon Olamo. So this year, the Ezer Hashem Hisbarach will be doing different topics that I'm writing up for Hakon Olamo Chelek Beis. So the first topic, the genesis of this was that on the last night of camp this past summer, I decided I have to start writing volume 2 right now, because if I don't start writing before I leave camp, I'm not going to continue. So and then I got an email from an old Talmud of mine that they're putting together a sefer for an old colleague of mine and someone I admire a great deal, and they want a sefer put together on inyanim relating to chinuch and Talmud Torah. So can I write something? Can I make a contribution on something relating to chinuch and Talmud Torah? So I know I wanted to write about brachos, but I was just asked to write about chinuch. So I decided chapter 1 is going to be about chinuch of brachos. So that's what you have in front of you right now. This is somewhat of a longer chapter, I guess we would say. So it might take us more than a week, and it divides up pretty evenly into two separate topics. There's the chinuch of the brachos, and then there's how we respond to the brachos of a child. So let's begin with the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph tells us Tan Rabbanan Katanei Odei L'Naneya. And again, as last year, certainly any typos that you notice in what you have in front of you, or any additions that you have, are very, very much welcome. Many of the typos that were noticed and many of the additions that were suggested last year made it into the first volume, so I certainly would encourage that. I don't want to make it sound like I'm just doing this as a preparation for writing a book. It's about a shiur. It's about giving a shiur and learning together, but it's always good to get some extra benefit out of it as well. So the Gemara in Sukkah tells us in Daf Mem Beis, Tan Rabbanan, a child who knows how to shake the lulav is chayev in lulav. When he knows to wrap, how to wrap himself in tzitzis, he's chayev in tzitzis. Lishmor tefillin, aviv lokeach lo tefillin. When he knows how to guard his tefillin, then his father has to buy him tefillin. Yodeya ledaber, aviv lomdo Torah kriyashma. When he knows how to speak, his father has to teach him Torah and Kriyashma. But right away the Gemara says, wait a second, if he knows how to speak, that doesn't mean he's going to be able to learn Torah or say Kriyashma. Those are much more challenging. So Torah Mayhi, Amar Rav Amnuna Torah Sivlana Moshe Marasha Kilis Yaakov. When we say that, we're going to teach him Torah. If he just is learning how to speak, there's no way he's going to be able to really learn Torah. No, it means you teach him the Pasuk of Torah Sivlana Moshe Marasha Kilis Yaakov. And we do find that Pasuk is used as something that is symbolic of Kalat Torah Kula. Not only here, when we talk about teaching a child Torah, that you start with that somehow represents Kola Torah for that child, but we find it in other contexts as well. The Gemara in Bab Basra and Daf Yudalit tells us that Rabbi Ami wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. So the Gemara says, that's impossible. No one could have written 400 Sifrei Torah. It's humanly impossible. No, what does it mean? Mistama, he wrote Torah Tzivalon Moshe 400 times. And that counts as writing 400 Sifrei Torah. Why Dafka that Pasuk? Apparently that Pasuk is the Pasuk that is used to symbolize Kola Torah Kula. We find the Gemara in Makos, Daf Chav Gimel, Darish Rav Simlai, one of the most, what the Ramban calls, a Maimer Chazal that has more mazel than all other Ma'amari Chazal, than many other Ma'amari Chazal. Because here's a Maimer Chazal that tells us that Sheish Meos Vishalosh Esrei Mitzvos Nemr Lo Lemoshe, that there are 613 Mitzvos in the Torah. The Ramban in the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvah says, I could, Kedarko B'Kodesh, he could shake out 10 other Ma'amari Chazal that tell you that there are 1,000 Mitzvos, 10,000 Mitzvos, 5, you know, all sorts of different numbers of Mitzvos. But this Maimer Chazal had mazel that there's got to be 613. So much mazel, not only in Uncle Maishi's songs and everything else, but Rishonim write full Svarim based on the premise that there has to be 613. And they try to fit into the 613. Where do we know that there are 613 mitzvos in the Torah? So the Gemara continues, Amra Vamnuna, Maikra, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marasha. Torah begematria shismei avachad srehavi, anoch v'loyeach l'bipia gvura shamanim. Torah is gematria 611, and then you have anochi and loyeach. So Torah, tziv, alanu, Moshe, is the basis of 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. So once again, this pasuk representing all of the mitzvos in the Torah, representing somehow kol haTorah kula. That seems clear. And what also is very clear from this Gemara is as soon as a child is ready to speak, at the very beginning of his chinuch, we take that koach hadibur and we channel it to Kedusha. We channel it to Torah Tzivalon Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov. That's with the very first words. We don't wait until he's more sophisticated or until he's... And it happens to be a mistake that a lot of parents make, is that they underestimate what their child at a very young age is able to do. Sometimes at an age a few years later, parents tend to overestimate what the expectations of the child should be. But at a very young age, we tend to underestimate because they're so cute. What can they do already in terms of learning, in terms of understanding? But we underestimate very often. So the Torah HaKadosh, the Gemara tells us right away, as soon as he's able to speak, you have to capture that. You have to do something with that. You have to channel that toward Dvarim Shebekdusha. And L'chora, that extends beyond just Torah. It's not only Torah Tzivalanu. We pick that pasuk because that's the symbol, as we said, of Mesiras HaTorah, Midor Lidor. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Enoch Rishosik B'Torah is Chayiv Misa. Why? Because Torah Tzivalanu, Moshe Marasha, it's Marasha, like a Marasa, like it's an Arusa to Klal Yisrael, that it's Asur to everybody else. So that's the pasuk that symbolizes that we have something very precious to hand down to the next generation. And that's why the Gemara says in Sanhedrin later on, we just learned in the Daf Yomi, Amar Avi Domar Rav, Kolamoneh Halacha Mipi Talmid, Kilu Gozlo Minachlas Avosav. If you refuse to teach Torah to a child, to your Talmidim, it's as if you're stealing his Nachlas Avosav, his Yerusha, that he rightfully inherits from Dori Doros. Shenemar, and again the Pasuk, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, Marasha Kilas Yaakov, that it's a Marasha to call Yisrael, Misheshes Yimei Bereshis. So, one of the ways that we are Mekadesh the Peh of a child, that we teach a child to use his mouth in a way for Kedusha at a very young age, is with making, with reciting brachos. Making brachos is Yiddishism, right? It's the macha bracha, but in English, doesn't really, like sometimes when you speak to people who maybe aren't familiar with their Yiddishisms, so it sounds to make a blessing. They'll look at you funny. There's no making a blessing. You recite a blessing. You don't make a blessing. So when we recite a bracha, that's one of the things we teach children at a very young age, because it's really one of the basics of everyday living. I just did Geirus meetings today. We met with three potential converts, and one of the basic questions we ask is, for some reason, the leader of our Beis Din was very into carrots today. He kept on asking everyone, what bracha you make on carrots? I don't know why carrots got in his head. It's better than when he asked them about sushi, but he said, so what bracha do you make on carrots? So, okay, so you have to know, because if you're going to be eating, so we had one candidate said that I love to eat a particular type of food. So right away, oh, what bracha do you make on it? Didn't know. You're not ready yet, okay? Because obviously you're not practicing, you're not doing it if you have to even think about it, if that's your favorite food. This is something that's very basic to being a Jew, to recite a bracha. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chavtes Amud Beis, writes, Tan Rabbanan lo yifros adam prusa la orchin, elim kein ocheli mahem, Aval pores hu lubanav ulbnei beso kedei lechanchan b'mitzvos. That you break up the bread to give to your children in order to be mechanich them in the mitzvos of brachos, chinuch in brachos. And certainly saying a bracha is critical, because anyone who's nenem in olam hazeh b'lo brachos, kilu ma'al, the Gemara says in brachos, daf lamed hay, and there's a chiyuv, d'oraisa, d'rabbanan, you have to figure out, to say mea brachos b'chol yom, the Gemara in Menachos tells us. So the fact that we have to be mechanich children in brachos is evident, because we have to be mechanich children to say dvarim shebekedusha. Brachos is critical to daily living, critical to a Jewish life. But here's what we're going to discuss. Number one, at what age? At what age does a child have to already be trained to recite brachos? Number two, is there a difference between the types of brachos? Meaning we know that the Rambam defines three categories of brachos. There are brachos hanenin, there are brachos shevach v'odah, there are brachos hamitzvos. Is it different? Meaning is there a certain age to teach a child brachos hanenin, a different age for brachos hamitzvos, different age for brachos shevach v'odah? Along those lines also, though, When we are teaching a child the bracha, how do you teach it? Are you allowed to say the Shem Hashem when you're teaching a child the bracha? You don't want the kid, how many bar mitzvah boys have gotten up and by their aliyah and said, Baruch Hu Es Hashem, Hamavarach, right? instead of saying Hashem's name, because they practiced the bracha without the Shem Hashem. So can you be mechanech a child? Can you recite the Shem Hashem when you're mechanech a child? Let's say the child's not saying a bracha. Are you allowed to feed him? Can you feed a child who should be saying a bracha but isn't saying a bracha? Is there some sort of isra of doing that? Meaning, to what extent do we view this chiyuv of reciting a bracha? And then maybe if we have time to get to it, probably next week, if a child says a bracha, you're allowed to answer amen, which is like a basic thing because everyone does it. A three-year-old kid says a bracha, you're so proud, you answer amen. Is that okay? Is there some sort of problem with answering amen to the bracha of a child? So let's start at the beginning. The chiyuv to be mechanech a child in bracha. So Shulchan Aruch, and this is on top of page 2 of here, Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Pei Vav Si'if Beis writes that a katan is chayiv mitrabanan in birch samazan. Why? Chinuch. So it's chayiv mitrabanan in birch samazan. The whole deal in the Rishonim about, based on the Gemara and Brachas, about a katan being motzi a gadol in birch samazan. What if the gadol only ate a kazayis and the katan ate a kidei sviya? So a katan can be motzi a gadol who's only chayiv mitrabanan. L'chora, if a katan is chayiv in birch samazan midine chinuch, he would also be chayiv in all birchas hananin. Why? Because the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Hey has a long discussion. How do I know that anybody is chayiv in reciting a bracha before eating food? Where do we derive that from? It doesn't say it in the Torah, or it doesn't seem to say it in the Torah. So the Gemara has a number of possibilities, many of which would suggest that birchas hananin are actually daraisa. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that it's a svara, that it's asa lehanas melam hazeh below bracha, that it makes sense that you should not be allowed to benefit from this world without a bracha. But one of the possibilities the Gemara has is that if we're chayiv in birch samazon, if we're chayiv in saying a bracha after we've eaten, kal v'chomer, we have to say a bracha before we've eaten. So that's what the Gemara assumes is the kal and the chomer. That's what the Gemara assumes is logical. It therefore follows that if a child is going to be chayiv in birch samazon, which is explicit in the Gemara, they're also going to be chayiv kal v'chomer in the bracha rishona. However, it could be that there's a difference on this level between birch samitzos and birch samanin. So what we've shown so far is, birch samazon, and therefore by definition all birch samanin, there is a chiyuv chinuch. Is birch samitzvah the same thing? Could be that there's room to distinguish. Why? When it comes to being mechanech a child, our job is to be mechanech a child in a mitzvah. So when it comes to birch samazon itself is a mitzvah. It happens to be a bracha, but it is a mitzvah to recite the bracha. A birch sanen before you eat, midrabanan, but it is a mitzvah. However, if you bring mechanech a child in netilas lulav, the bracha is not the mitzvah, the netilas lulav is the mitzvah. The bracha enhances the mitzvah, the bracha introduces the mitzvah, the bracha may help with the kavanas ha-mitzvah, but the mitzvah is undoubtedly the netilas lulav. So one might argue that just because there's a chiyuv explicit in Shulchan Aruch that you have to be mechanech a child in birch sanenin doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be mechanech a child in birch samitzos as well. Maybe it's only in the kiyum mitzvah and not in the bracha. However, I think that it will become evident for two reasons that one absolutely has to be mechanech a child in birch samitzvah. Yeah, Danny?
Essentially, when you have a mitzvah like we have a bracha on lulav, it becomes part of the whole doing the mitzvah. I mean, you can't take a lulav without saying a bracha. They're intertwined.
Good. So I would suggest two things. One is what you're saying, and something else as well. First of all, the chiyuv chinuch in mitzvos, I would say it like this. First of all, the recitation of bracha is also a mitzvah, meaning it's a mitzvah midrabanan to recite a birch mitzvah. That's also an obligation. That's also its own independent chiyuv. You have a chiyuv to do the mitzvah. You also have a separate chiyuv to say a bracha before the mitzvah. But then there's also what Danny's saying, which is that the chinuch of doing the mitzvah is to do the mitzvah the way you're supposed to do a mitzvah. So even if the bracha were not independent, but the bracha were just part of how you're mekayim a mitzvah, so yes, you have to be mechanech a child in how to be mekayim a mitzvah properly. So part of the, just like you wouldn't tell a child, the Gemara says, katan adeya linanea, you wouldn't tell a child, pick up the lulav, okay, midag be enough, put it down. No, you tell the child, pick up the lulav. Now here's how you shake it, this way, that way, whatever. I'm not going to suggest which way, because everyone, but you shake it whatever way you shake it. You teach him to do the lunaneya, to do it properly. So you want to teach him to do the entire mitzvah. So just to elaborate a little more on each of these points, when it comes to the bracha itself, mitzad the bracha itself is a mitzvah midrabanan. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Nachos, Parakid Aleph Halacha Yud, ha'apotropin osin lektanim, lulav, v'sukkah, v'tzitzis, v'shofar, sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzos, megillah. Let's say Nebuch, you have ketanim yisomim. They have an estate, but they don't have parents. So an apotropos has to take care and make sure that they have all the mitzvos. Klol shadavar. Kol mitzvah seisheisham kitzva bein shum midivrei Torah bein shum midivrei sofrim osam lahem afal pishen chayav mitzvah mikol ela mitzvos ela kedei lechanchan. Any mitzvah where there's a set cost to the mitzvah and it's going to be a one-time cost and you got to buy it and you got to take care of it, you do that for the child, even though a child is not a bar chiyuva, but you got to be mechanichim. Avol ein poskan aleim tzedaka afil lepidyon shvuyim. We don't force them into tzedakah from their money. Because such mitzvos have no kitzvah. They have no set. But what do you see clear from the Rambam? Whatever a child has to do, whether it's doraisa or even mitzvos midrabanan, like Megillah, that's clearly identified by the Rambam, we have a requirement to be mechanichlem. So certainly, the mitzvah midrabanan, to be mevarich before you do a mitzvah, is no different than the mitzvah, than any other mitzvah midrabanan. A mitzvah to recite a birchas mitzvah, granted, that requirement is only a mitzvah midrabanan, but it's a mitzvah midrabanan like any other, that you have to be mechanich a child. But that's only one tzad, mitzad acher. The perhaps even more impactful reason is what Danny was suggesting, that even though the mitzad, the kiyum mitzvah itself, even mitzad, the kiyum mitzvah itself, the birchas mitzvah becomes part of the mitzvah. In order to be mekayim the mitzvah properly, you have to say a bracha on the mitzvah. A mitzvah without a bracha is a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah shelo b'shleimusa. Right? People often ask if, I often get the question. Someone walks into Megillah 30 seconds late, and they missed the birchas mitzvah, right? But they heard the entire Megillah, beginning to end. So they want to know, were they yotzei? Or what should they have done? So what they should have done, what's the answer? What should they do? They should have done...
Come early.
Yes, come early. Okay. Second choice. Va'od yesh lomar. Right? What else they could have done aside from coming? What? Say the bracha and catch up. You could say the bracha and catch up a couple of... So read and catch up. Okay, but they didn't. So they're asking, they sat there for whatever, a half hour, 35 minutes listening to the Megillah. They come to me after, Hashilating 18 minutes listening to the Megillah. They come back to me afterwards, and they ask, do I have to hear the Megillah again? So the answer is no. You were Yotzei the Mitzvah. You just weren't Yotzei the Mitzvah with a Bracha. So you didn't have the opportunity to recite the Bracha. But certainly saying a Bracha makes the mitzvah a mitzvah b'shleimusa. The Gemara in Brachas is explicit. The Bracha is not ma'akev a mitzvah, but without the Bracha, it's not a mitzvah b'shleimusa. The Rambam writes in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Trumos, Chamisha lo yitromu, v'im tarmu trumas and truma. There are five that you don't take truma, but if they do, the truma counts. Cherish medaber v'eno shomea, mipnei she'eno shomea habracha. V'ilim shomea v'eno medaber, v'aru mipnei she'en yichol levarech. What does Rambam do over here? The Rambam tells us there are certain people that should not take truma. If they do, it counts, though. It is the mitzvah. So let's take an easy example. The Orum, someone who's currently not clothed. So we should not be taking truma. Why? Why shouldn't he be taking truma? So it's a bizarre to the mitzvah. How are you going to take truma when you're dressed in that way? You're going to do mitzvahs in that way? No, that's not the issue. David HaMelech in the shower realized he's Orum in a mitzvah until he realized he has bris mila. It's not necessarily bizarre to a mitzvah when a person is Orum. No, the problem is that he's not going to be able to say a bracha. Mipnei she'einu yicholun levarech. So don't do it. Better not to do the mitzvah when you're not going to be able to say the bracha than to do the mitzvah and skip out on the bracha. So l'chadchila, if you can't say a bracha, it takes away from that mitzvah itself. So because the chiv of chinuch of every mitzvah is to do the mitzvah bishlei musa, so that's why you have to train a child to do a birchsa mitzvah. How do I know that it's the chiv is a mitzvah bishlei musa? So it goes back to that gemara that we started with. The Brisker Rav points out in the Chidush HaGriz on Masech Sarachin that the chiv chinuch is always when the katan is able to do the mitzvah b'chol tiktukeho prateha. Katan yodei l'naneya, yodei l'sateif, yodei l'shmer tefilah. None of those are a description of how to get the bare bones minimum of the mitzvah. How do you get the bare bones minimum of the mitzvah of lulav? Mida'ag be'nafek be'. You just lift it up. You already got the mitzvah. What's l'naneya? That's a mitzvah min amuvchar. How do you get the mitzvah of tzitzis? You're matzil tzitzis and you're beged. That's dal kanfos. L'sateif. They have to know how to do the whole atifa. That's a mitzvah min amuvchar. How do you get the mitzvah of tefillin? You put it on the tefillin. Lishmar tefilav, that's to treat it with a certain amount of dignity and respect and to avoid the issue of being mevazah the tefillin. But that's not the bare bones mitzvah. So the Brisker Rav points out that the chiyuv of chinuch is when the child is able to do the mitzvah bishlei musa. So it turns out that it would be l'chora pashut, that you have to teach a child to not only do a mitzvah, but to be mevarich, both because the bracha itself is a mitzvah drabanan, and because the bracha enhances the mitzvah that it's going on. Yeah, Nathan, you want to? So that's as far as the very obligation.
I was just saying, maybe this is the first side, that we're trying to teach the kid to do something that he's going to eventually have to do.
Ah, so we're going to get to this.
You don't even know need to get into this one.
You might.
What is the downside, I guess? Is there a downside to a katan saying a mitzvah? Saying a bracha?
So that's an interesting question. Is there a downside to a katan running around screaming Shem Hashem? Sometimes a child learns a song or whatever with psukim or whatever. So where do they sing? In the bath, on the toilet, you know, on the potty, right, when they're getting right. So what do you do in that case? Do you quiet him down? Is there a downside? Maybe if he doesn't know how to respect the Shem Hashem, yeah, maybe there is a downside. Maybe so. And it's not so pashut that that's what the mitzvah of chinuch is, as you described. This is what he will have to do. So let's get him trained right now. So that's part of the discussion. But let's hold off, and that we'll come back to that. Belina there. What age? What's the age of chinuch where you have to start teaching him to say bracha? So, in order to answer that question, you have to take a step back and say, well, what's the age of chinuch for anything? We always ask, people throw around the term higia lechinuch. When he's at the age of chinuch, well, what does that mean? What is higia lechinuch? So there happen to be at least two, perhaps three shitos in Rishonim what the age of chinuch is. There's one school of thought in Rishonim, and this is the sheet of Rashi and Megillah and Daf Yotes, 9 or 10 years old. And that's based on the Gemara Yuma Pei Beis, that were mechanech l'katan to fast in Yom Kippur, already starting 9, 10 years old. Meaning l'sha'os, and then 11 and 12, he fasts the whole day. Right? That's what we pass on Shulchan Aruch, so that a child, the chinuch for a child for Yom Kippur, if he's strong, is to fast 2 Yom Kippurs before the Bar Mitzvah. He's shvach, maybe one, but if a stronger child, fast 2 Yom Kippurs before the Bar Mitzvah. Other fasts, probably there's no chiyuv chinuch, but to have the child fast, but at least 2 Yom Kippurs before the Bar Mitzvah. That's what my children always did, that they didn't fast any of the other fasts before the Bar Mitzvah, sort of Shachta told us to do, but do 2 Yom Kippurs before the Bar Mitzvah. Very often I'm asked about Bat Mitzvah girls, so Bat Mitzvah is a year earlier, and they very often girls have a much harder time fasting, so I don't recommend. I don't recommend 2 Yom Kippurs before the Bat Mitzvah, 1 Yom Kippur before the Bat Mitzvah, because very often it's very, very challenging for girls, but most of the boys I find are able to handle, all 4 of my boys were able to handle 2 Yom Kippurs before the Bar Mitzvah. Based on that, Rashi says, it defines chinuch, it gives an actual number, 9 or 10, that's when we start being mechanech l'sha'os for fasting in Yom Kippur. So apparently, that's the age of chinuch. Now that itself is a great chiddush, that Rashi assumes that there's such a thing as the age of chinuch. But that's what Rashi seems to assume. The other shita, or a second shita, is, and probably what you would imagine would be a more mainstream shita, is that it really depends on the child, and it depends on the mitzvah. It depends on his ability to understand the mitzvah. In fact, the Prima Gadim in Psicha Kolelas writes this explicitly, and he says, every mitzvah based on the Zman Haro'i Lekach, even if it's under the age of 5. Meaning sometimes you can have a very precocious child who gets it, and he's able to do it. So even if it's at a very young age. I remember when my children asked, when they asked Rav Asher Weiss, when they were very young, whether they're allowed to play ball on Shabbos. So it was a very interesting discussion. My son Daniel, I think at the time, was 5 years old. So yes, we went to visit Rav Asher in Borough Park. So we were in Rav Asher's hotel room in Borough Park, and my son says, I have a shayla. Okay, so he's very patient and good with children. So he says, yeah. So my son said, can you play ball? Can children play ball on Shabbos? So Rav Asher said, did you ask your father? So he said, yes. And what did your father tell you? He said that he was going to ask Rav Schechter. Did he ask Rav Schechter? Yes. And what did Rav Schechter say? Rav Schechter said that once a child, that when a child is young, they could play ball on Shabbos, but once they already understand what Shabbos is all about, and they already understand that Shabbos is supposed to be done for better things, supposed to be used for holier things, then they shouldn't be playing ball on Shabbos anymore. So he says, okay, so you have your answer. So he said, no, but my question is, what if the child is very young, but he already understands that Shabbos is supposed to be used for holier things, and for, you know, can he play ball on Shabbos? So I don't remember what Rav Asher answered, although Rav Asher said that, I think he said to Daniel, Daniel was very little, he was like 5 years old at the time, he said, my grandchildren who are your age play ball in my house on Shabbos. I think that's what he said, when they're your age, when they're such a young age. But it happens to be, like, you know, as a parent, like, you get very excited. A kid says something like that at the age of five. Kids are normal also, you know, when kids get older, that tends to reverse itself. they don't always necessarily see it that way, straight through, you know. It's not, so you have to sort of roll with the punches a little bit. But the Prima Gaudium said it could be even before the age of five. It really depends on what the kid understands and what the mitzvah is. In fact, Shulchan Aruch Rav writes, the shir of Chinuch Katan in Dalet Kosos is when he understands Kedushas Yom Tov, and he understands what Yitzias Mitzrayim is all about. So then you're mechanichim with the Agada, with the Dalet Kosos that go along with it. So based on what he's able to understand. The Maral in Gur Aryeh and Dvarim Perek Lamed Aleph, on the Gemara Chagiga, the comments on the Gemara Chagiga says by Hakel that Ketanim come to Hakel litein schar lemivi ehed. Why did Ketanim show up to Hakel? To give schar to those who bring them. Says the Maral, we must be talking about Ketanim sheyicholun lilmod umitzvah lelamdam. We have to be talking about Ketanim that are able to learn, and there's a mitzvah to teach them. Because otherwise, how could you say kidei litein schar lemivi ehed? What kind of schar? If he has no idea what's going on, there is no schar. So that's a big chiddush, meaning most understand that no, afal became, even though, meaning that the whole idea of bringing the ketanim is litein schar lemivyeihen, is that it's that becomes part of the mitzvah. But even if you understand it that way, not like the Maral says, no, it wouldn't be a mitzvah if he doesn't get anything. But even if you understand that it would be a mitzvah anyway, that's because it's a gezeiras hakasuv over there. But Maral clearly holds that there is no zman kavua. There's a different time for every mitzvah. Then there's a third possibility that it depends on not the katan's ability to understand the mitzvah, but the katan's ability to perform the mitzvah. There's a big difference. You know, katan might be able to understand Yitzias Mitzrayim and Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, but may not be able to hold down 4 cups of grape juice easily, or 4 cups of wine, let's say, right? It may be much more challenging. So there's the ability to understand. The katan might be able to shake the dalet minim, but he might not understand the inyan of dalet minim, right? He may just be very strong and have good dexterity in his wrist and be able to do the kiyu mitzvah, the maisa mitzvah, without a havana of the mitzvah. That is the shita that seems to be shitas hatosvos in Sukkot Daf Chav Chesed Beis. Where Tosfos writes that a katan who's able to be ola l'regel is called higiel l'chinuch for aliyah l'regel. Sounds like he doesn't have to understand anything as long as he's able to be ola l'regel. Although you could suggest that the assumption is that if he's able to be ola l'regel, then he's probably also old enough to understand aliyah l'regel. But the Rambam also seems to say this way. The Rambam, in the sixth paragraph of Chumash Matzah, Halacha Yud, writes, "Katan sheyachol lechol pas mechanchin osa b'mitzvos machlin osa k'zayis matzah." What does it take to be a mechanich a child in matzah that he's able to eat the kazayis of matzah? So, not that he's able to understand lechem oni, not that he's able to understand maschil b'gnos and musayim b'sheva, none of that. No, that he's able to eat a kazayis of matzah, that he's able to do the mitzvah. And the Rambam, the Magen Mishnah over there points out that the Rambam gets this from Sukkah Membeis. Katan was able to eat a kazayis tzli, shochtin alav es ha-pesach. Sounds like when he's able to, katan yodei l'nanea, chayiv belulav. When he's able to do the mitzvah properly, so then we're mechanichim. Now, one could argue, and I saw this in a wonderful sefer, there's a three-volume sefer called Hakatan v'Hilchosav. I saw it in a farm store once and I bought it. I don't think I've ever seen it anywhere else since. I think it was written by like a nephew of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. A very, very thorough, beautiful sefer on any halachos relating to a katan. There are lots of farm of that genre, of Rabbi in English, Rabbi Simcha Ben Mekona's children in halacha, and there are a lot of other farm in Hebrew about chinuch, but this one, as far as what I've seen, this one's the best in terms of the going through the lamdus, the rishonim, and practical halacha, what the poskim have to say. So anyway, see, he suggests that maybe shitos 2 and 3 don't disagree. Meaning, shita number 2 was when a katan is able to understand the mitzvah. Shita number 3 is when a katan is able to do the mitzvah. So he suggests they might not disagree. They might be saying the same thing. It just depends on what kind of mitzvah you're talking about. Some mitzvahs are very understanding. There's a heavy emphasis on the understanding. And some mitzvahs, it's not really about the understanding. It's about, just doing the ma'aseh mitzvah. So for example, Kiddush on Shabbos. So is the child able to say the words of Kiddush? Wonderful. Does he understand Kedusha Shabbos? Does he understand what it means? What's the real mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos? Is it saying the words? So that's the Maisa mitzvah, but that's not the real mitzvah. The real mitzvah is to be Mekadesh. Huh?
It's very interesting that the example that Shulchan Aruch Harab mentioned was Talat Kosos. The Rambam's example was matzah.
Ah, exactly. So that's exactly what he's trying to suggest. When it comes to matzah, the mitzvah of right, what are the Rambam saying? When he can do it, because the mitzvah is the achilas matzah. All the other things are nice, right? But that's not the core mitzvah. The core mitzvah is it's a mitzvah achila netilas lulav. It's a mitzvah of doing the mice of netilas lulav achilas karm pesach. Also, mitzvah of achilas karm pesach is to eat the karm pesach. Havdalah. Is the mitzvah of Havdalah to say the words of Havdalah or to understand the difference between Kodesh and Chol and to actually be Mavdil bein Kodesh l'Chol? Haggadah shel Pesach? Is it to say the words? Kol Shalom, 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 Pesach, Matzal, Shema, Pesach, right? It's not to say the words if he doesn't know what those words are about. It's all about understanding the Haggadah, Avelus on the Churban also. Yeah, the child might be able to sit on the floor in Tisha B'Av, but he has no idea what he's doing. He sits on the floor to play with his toys, and he sits on the floor to to watch a ball game, and he sits on the floor in Tisha B'Av. It doesn't make any difference to him. So that's chinuch. That's chinuch for Avelus on Tisha B'Av. Certainly not. So I think it's a pretty compelling suggestion that it could be that shitos numbers 2 and 3 don't disagree with each other. That some mitzvos lend themselves to being more thought oriented, and some mitzvos lend themselves to being more maiso oriented in terms of the chiyuv chinuch. Now let's get back to brachos. So as this would play out in brachos, so we have three shitos, right? Rashi says chiyuv chinuch 9 or 10. So that would be stunning. I mean, to have a child not say any brachas till 9 or 10, we don't do that. Then you have the second shita when he understands. When he understands, this is a thank you, Takarosh Baruch Hu. This is Nitilas Roshos from Hashem to eat his food. This is a thank you after we've eaten the food, Takarosh Baruch Hu. Understanding. So according to the third shita, the shita is a Rambam. If you assume that it is in fact a third shita, it's as soon as he's able to say the words properly, as soon as he's able to pronounce all the words of the bracha properly. If you assume, like this suggestion of the Sefer HaKatan V'Chosav, that shitos 2 and 3 don't disagree, probably the bracha, it's not about saying the words. It's about an understanding what you're trying to do when you say the words. But let's take another step back. We want to be mechanich a child to say brachos. Is it so pashut that he's allowed to? So this goes back to what Rabbi Farber was saying before. What do you have to lose? Right, let him say a bracha. What do you have to lose? So, one could have suggested a woman is chayiv mitzvah, is pater mitzvah shazman grama. Right? So everyone holds, all Rishonim agree, a woman is allowed to volunteer to do the mitzvah Shazman Grama. Is a woman permitted to volunteer the bracha in a mitzvah Shazman Grama? So that's a major machlokas Rishonim. The Balei Tosfos hold that yes, and that's how the Rama passed in the Shulchan Aruch, that women are allowed to say a bracha on Sukkah, on Lulav, on Shofar, on mitzvah Shazman Grama. However, the Rambam and the Mechaber and all Sephardic almost all Sephardic poskim assume that women, I should say, on the other side, almost all Ashkenazi poskim, that the almost all Sephardi poskim on this side assume that women are not permitted to say a bracha mitzvah shazman grama. Why not? What's the problem with the woman saying that? So they're going to say the words, Asher kishorim sosa vitzi vanu, that Hashem commanded me. It's a lie. They were not vitzi vanu. So the Balei Tosfos say it is. It's Vitzivano of Klal Yisrael collectively. You remember a Klal Yisrael, Vitzivano of Klal Yisrael. So now here's what you have to lose: a katan is not chayiv in the mitzvah. The father has a chiv to be mechalichim. He has no chiv in the mitzvah. So you're going to have him say bracha. If you hold like the Rambam, it's going to be sheker. You're not allowed to teach lim d'lishonim d'var sheker. You're not allowed to teach a child to say sheker. Someone just told me today the Gemara in Sukkah. What does the Gemara in Sukkah say? The Gemara has about how you're not allowed to. We've discussed many times when it comes to taking lulav on day one. So the halacha is that it has to be lachem; it has to belong to you. But you have a problem because the child is able to be kona when there's a das acheres makna. If you're makna your lulav to a child, he's able to be kona, but he's not able to be makna it back to you. So on day one, if you give your lulav to a child, he'll be kona it. He'll get the mitzvah. You'll do the chinuch on the child. But then you won't be able to get the mitzvah back. And then the very next line of Gemara says that you shouldn't teach a child to lie. Limdu l'shon dvar sheker. So don't deal dishonestly with the child because you can teach him to lie. So the Aruch Liner says, what's the juxtaposition of those two halachos? He says something very sharp. He says, you know, what would be a simple etzah? Let's say a kid's screaming. He wants the lulav now. He wants to do the lulav now. So you want to give it to him before you've ever done the mitzvah. So what you might do is, you know, the katan can only acquire the lulav if there's a das acheres makne. You have to have das to be maknet him. So you give it to him, and don't have das to be maknet him. He thinks you're being mechanichim in the mitzvah. You're not really, because you're not having any das to be maknet him. Then he'll give it back to you, and then you'll be able to be mechanichim in the mitzvah. And then when he grows up, he's going to learn this halacha, that a katan can only do the mitzvah if there's das, that a katan acquires with das acheres makna, but a person needs lachem, and he's going to chap what you did, and then limdu l'shonim dvar sheker, you taught him to say a lie. So even to such an extent, even if he's only going to chap 15 years later when he's in yeshiva, and he's learning mesecha sukkah, even if only then he's going to chap that what you did with him was dishonest, even though at the time that he was a child, there's no way he could know about your dishonesty, even that is a problem of teaching him dvar sheker. So you can't have the kid say it's Ivanu, it's Dvar Sheker.
Can you say it's part of Klal Yisrael too?
Well, that's for Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim hold. So if you say that women can say a bracha mitzvah shazman grama, so maybe an Ashkenami, a child also. But if you say that women can't, then like the Rambam, then lechora a child shouldn't also. But it also depends on. Ah, so what this really relates to is what is chinuch? Whose mitzvah is it? So this is Yadua Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos Brachas Memches. Whether the chi of chinuch is a chi of on the father, or because of the father's obligation to mechanich the son, the child becomes a bar chiyuva midrabana. Meaning, do we consider the child a bar chiyuva midrabana, or do we say, no, the child is no chiyuv at all? It's the father's obligation to be mechanich, which is really a startling suggestion. That the kid has no obligation whatsoever, and that the father just has to be mechanichim, meaning just play that out in your mind, right? If a kid knows this, so a father says, you have to wake up, we have to daven. No, I don't have to do anything. You have to get me to daven, but I don't have to daven. You have to take a look. No, I don't. I don't have to do anything. You have an obligation to make sure that I do it, but I don't have to do it. So it's going to cost you. You know, it's going to be. Just to imagine that there would be such a chiv on the father without any chiv midrabban mitzad the child is astonishing. But there is this very serious possibility in Rishonim that the kid's not a bar chiv at all. I always thought that's maybe goof with the whole Indian of chinuch. The whole Indian of chinuch is that the parent should make it so geschmack that the kid's going to want to do it. that even without an obligation, it would just be that the kid will want to do the mitzvah. And that's the way to be mechanech a child. If he became a bar chiyuva and he was personally responsible to do it, so then you could just say, you have to do it because you have to, because I'm forcing you. But now the parent has to be creative enough to come up with a way that the kid is going to want to do it because the kid knows it. He's got no chiyuv whatsoever. But anyway, this is a machlokas Rashi and Tosos, whether the child is a bar chiyuva or not. So Ksav Sofer points out in the Tshuva that if you say like Rashi, that the chiyuv of chinuch is only on the father, the kid's not a bar chiyuva at all, well then how could a kid ever say Vitzivanu? How could a kid ever say a birch mitzvah? So Ksav Sofer says, well, Shita Satosos, like Danny said, Mitzvah Shazman Grama, that even women could say a bracha Mitzvah Shazman Grama, that's how the Ramah paskins, so someone who's Einu Mitzvah could say a bracha. So it could be even Ladas Rashi, a katan who's not a bar chiyuva at all in these mitzvahs, could say as an Einu Mitzvah Vyosa, just like women are allowed to say Vitzivanu. And even according to the Rambam, that women do not recite a bracha Mitzvah Shazman Grama, he says, Tzorich Lomar, says the Ksav Sofer, that the Rambam holds like the Baliatosos and Brachas Memches, that the kid is a Baruch Yuva. Meaning, Ksav Sofer says, it has to match up. You can't hold at the same time that the child is not a Baruch Yuva, and that a woman is not allowed to say Brachas, a Mitzvah Shazman Grama, because then you would have a child not being allowed to say a Bracha on a Mitzvah, and we never heard of such a thing. So any Rishon, if you were to find a Rishon that would hold that combination of Shitos, you'd have a problem. But he says they can't be. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a Rishon that holds that that combination of Shitos.
What about just what we were saying before, just the fact that we want to be mechanic to child as the proper way to do the Mitzvah? I understand you have a problem with Sivanu, but you have to get around that, because we want to be able to be mechanic to kid in the proper way to Mitzvah.
Baruch Shekivanti. So that's what I wanted to suggest in, if you look on page 4, in the paragraph that begins with L'chora. V'l'chora, hayimakum levar b'derech nosefes. There's another way to explain this. Maybe the kid is not a Baruch Yuvah. And maybe you'll like the Rambam that someone who's not a Baruch Yuvah is not allowed to recite a bracha on a mitzvah. But part of the mitzvah of chinuch is to say the bracha. Meaning that is the chinuch, that's the training. Ksav Sofer does mention this, and he says, "V'leka lemeimar da bracha atzmahim min achinuch, tuhu dover shkarim neged Hashem." He says it can't be chinuch to teach him to say a lie. Can't be that's chinuch. Not so sure. Why? Because saying the bracha, like anyone who would do the mitzvah, is saying the bracha, might be the very nature of the mitzvah of chinuch. What Rabbi Farber was saying before. If the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch is to train him to do what he's going to need to know how to do when he's an adult, so he's going to need to know how to say the bracha into the mitzvah as a, you know, together, because that's what he's going to have to do as an adult. So if that's the nature of the chiyuv of chinuch, yeah, then it's not dover shkarim. That's what chinuch is.
It's like, don't buy your child a pasul esrog to do the mitzvah of chinuch. If you buy him an esrog that's pasul, then that's shkarim.
So I think it's related to that, but I think we have to get a little more involved to explore that relationship. Let me just say it like this: there is a machlokas achronim whether the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch is that the child basher husham, where he is right now, is the mitzvah to have him do the mitzvah now as he is now, meaning pretend he's a bar mitzvah, and whatever he is now, he should be doing the mitzvah as he is, or forget what he is now. Think about what he's going to be. Think about how he's going to grow up, and when he grows up, he's going to have to do the mitzvah, and therefore train him to do it then. The example Rav Moshe discusses, Rav Moshe was asked about co-education. We discussed this a little bit on Sukkot. Rav Moshe was asked, can you educate a child in a co-ed environment, let's say at a young age? So he says, well, if you look at the child, Basher Husham, he has no Yetzer Hara for women. Let's say a third grade, he's got no Yetzer Hara for women. So as such, if you had an adult that had no Yetzer Hara for women, there would be no problem with him hanging out with women if he has no Yetzer Hara. Right? The whole problem is, so he's not going to have that problem. So Basher Husham, no problem, put him in a co-ed class. But Rav Moshe says, if you hold that it's not about where he is now, it's about where he's going to be. It's about, think about, you know, you have to train him now in the behaviors that he's going to need to establish as when he's older. And he said, well, as an older person, he's going to have a Yetzer Hara. So as an older person, he cannot grow accustomed to these behaviors. So as Rav Moshe said, it depends on these two dayos. So it could be that whether the child could say a bracha on a mitzvah midin chinuch will really depend. Basharu sham, absolutely not, because he can't say vitzivanu basharu sham. But if it's about training him in the behaviors that he's going to need to do when he's an adult, well, yeah, when he's an adult, he's going to need to say the bracha. So I don't care that he's saying vitzivanu right now. It's not really about now. It's about what's going to be later on. And there are many, many other nafkaminas in this basic chakira about the mitzvah of chinuch. You look at footnote number 10. I think I have a whole bunch of other nafkaminas. But maybe we'll continue this discussion next week.